Welcome. Welcome again today to Sunday school at Grace Baptist Church. Today we want to deal with partakers of a heavenly calling. I want to open by reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider, ponder, think about the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him, God the Father, who appointed him, as Moses also in all his house. Now that his house is a reference to the church, the people of God. For this one, Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things, God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house. That's again the house of God. The church, not a building, but people, as is stated in 1 Timothy 3:15, a reference to the house of God, the people of God. Moses indeed was faithful in all God's house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken, down the road. But Christ, as a son over his own house, the people of God, the church, belong to the Lord Jesus, whose house we are, if we hold fast, hold tightly, hold on to the confidence and the boast. I think your Bibles say rejoicing. If you'll look that word up in Strong's, its first and primary meaning is firmly stated, B-O-A-S-T, to boast. That's what it's talking about here. You know, there's a godly boasting and an earthly boasting. And the boast of the hope. Hold fast to this boast of the hope firm to the end. The one having endured to the end shall be saved. Matthew 10:22. Please keep in mind, because we're going to deal with it later, keep in mind as partakers of a heavenly calling, keep in mind the boast of the hope that we need to lay hold of. Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, not an earthly calling, the house of Christ built by God, a dwelling place, figuratively, symbolically, family. The family of Christ built by God. 2 Timothy 1:9 speaks of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, a separate calling. Not general, but specific. an inward calling, not outward, such as in many are called but few are chosen, but an inward call, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Oh my goodness. What a verse. The inward spiritual call of God to us specifically has been in Christ for all eternity. Oh my goodness. This inward spiritual call of God in Christ was initiated when God birthed us again by breathing into us the Holy Spirit of Christ, making us alive together spiritually with Christ forever. The Spirit breathes where He wills, and you hear the voice of Him, but cannot tell where He comes from and where He goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. We hear the voice of Him, the inward spiritual call. How do you know when you have heard the voice of the Spirit of Christ? Well, when you truly believe the gospel of Christ, you have heard the voice of the Spirit of God, which is manifested by your salvation and the new creation you have become. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Has that happened in your life? Being that this inward spiritual call of God has eternal consequences, thanks be to God, it can never lose its purpose and power. Now we read the spirit of this truth in Romans 11:29. Listen. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. That being true, that the calling of God is irrevocable, it will not be turned around. That being true, we see that God's inward spiritual call is irresistible and echoes 2 Peter 1:3. God's divine power has given to us all things unto life. And that means eternal life and godliness. May we combine that with God's people are willing in the day of His power. It is irresistible. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for His grace. And don't forget 2 Timothy 1:9 that we just read a few minutes ago. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to His purpose, His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. A holy calling by which God called us and saved us. An inward spiritual calling that is irrevocable and irresistible. and is good for as long as Christ lives. And I would remind you that the risen Christ says this: I, he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Now the very fact that this inward spiritual call to the soul was given to us in Christ, in the purpose of God before time began, assures us that in time, God will exercise that call in us unto the salvation of our souls. The good work that God begins in us will be completed. And nothing can stop it. Who can stay his hand and say unto him, what are you doing? No one. They may say it, but that scripture there means nothing will happen. You can't stop the one true God. The work purposed in eternity by God will become effectual in time as God's elect believe the gospel of their own personal salvation. When God calls them inwardly, spiritually, and irresistibly so. As we call it, the effectual call, by God is a reality. If that were not so, you would not be saved. I would not be saved. The very word effectual means producing the effect intended, having power adequate to producing the purpose intended. All God's purpose will be accomplished. And again, bless God, his people are willing in the day of his power. And who are his people? They are the predestinated. They are the called. They are the elect. And if you would read Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, you would see that these people are called according to a purpose. And that purpose is to conform these called ones into the image of Jesus Christ himself. Now that image is not his outward appearance, folks, but it is his inward spiritual holiness. And as we look a bit more closely, which is what I would like to do now, as we look a bit more closely at the predestinated, the elect, the called, we see this. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. You might want to just listen. Listen now, listen. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many strong, not many noble, Now, that's speaking about status, people who are well born. And do remember this, to be fair and to be right. It does not say not any, but it says not many in those categories. But, God has chosen the foolish things of the world, those things that to the world appear foolish, to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen, he says for the second time, the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty or strong. And the base things of the world. You know what that word base there means? It's exactly the opposite of noble. It means people of no status. It means people lowly born. And would you think of Christ, who made himself of no status? And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Those things that are impossible for human beings are possible for God. That no flesh should glory. Now, once again, we're at that word. That word glory there means boast. Please think about it that way. This message will have much more impact if you think about that word as boast. That no flesh should boast in his presence. You see, there is, again, an earthly boasting, but there is a godly boasting as well. But of him, by him, through him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification. The word righteousness could be justification, exactly the same word in the Greek. And sanctification, again in the Greek, very same Greek word, holiness. And redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, he who boasts, here's that godly boasting, he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Now that makes very good sense to the Christian, doesn't it? Do you want to boast? Don't you dare do it about yourself. Boast about Jesus. Boast about the Father. Boast about the Spirit. As we've seen from those verses, status in this world will not move God to call you with a holy calling. And neither will your own efforts, as we saw earlier in 2 Timothy 1:9. The holy calling is not according to our works. No status, no works. But according to God's own purpose and grace. Now listen. Status and works in which you can boast of self are forbidden in God's presence. If you boast, you must boast about the Lord and the Lord alone. For God called us not into impurity, unto impurity or uncleanness, but in holiness. It's interesting. God called us in holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. In holiness is a reference to being united to holiness. And that speaks of our initial sanctification, in which God, in calling us inwardly, spiritually, sets us apart for himself to be made holy, pure. That speaks of progressive sanctification, progressive holiness. You know, there was that time when God called you inwardly, spiritually, that you were sanctified in Christ. That happens once. And that's initial. But being made holy and pure, practically speaking, happens in our progressive sanctification, our progressive holiness. This spiritual, this inward call of God comes by and with, did you hear that now? The inward spiritual call of God comes by and with the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Therefore, we are united to holiness in the person of the Spirit of God the Father and God the Son. Being inwardly, spiritually called and united to holiness. Now you need to listen to this. Are you inwardly, spiritually called? Are you united to holiness? Well, guess what? It comes with great, great responsibility. I'm going to do a bit more reading now. Looking to 1 Peter chapter 1, going to be reading a number of verses here. And again, I'm skipping around, so I just pray that you will listen. You can always listen to the message again and pop to these scriptures if you would like to do that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you, Christians, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart by God, for God to be made holy, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. Folks, you may boast of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now I'm moving to chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all be of one mind. Church, people of God, be of one mind, even the mind of Christ, a sound mind, having compassion for one another. Oh my goodness, you'll see that among the people of God. Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Tenderhearted. Courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Have you experienced a heavenly calling, a holy calling, that you may inherit a blessing? For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. This is actually a quote of Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. And his lips from speaking deceit, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace. Let him seek peace and pursue it. I have a bit of a problem there. Somebody gets in my face, I tend to defend myself. I really need to learn from this. Seek peace and pursue it. God, forgive me. For the eyes of the Lord on the righteous, and his ears to their prayers. But the face of the Lord, oh my goodness, against those who do evil. Now, friends, let me say this. The Christian life is not without suffering. And that's where Peter picks up immediately in the very next verse. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Followers of what is good. That all comes from the Lord God himself. But there's none good but him and those things of Christ. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. And friends, if you're a Christian, that's going to happen to you. That even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Oh my gosh, that's absolutely impossible for us except by the grace of God. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set apart in your hearts your heart itself for God. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason. Now listen, I told you about this earlier. For the hope that is in you. Remember I spoke of the boasting of the hope? A reason for the hope that is in you. What hope is in us? With meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, people make fun of us, don't they? May be ashamed. For better, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Did you hear that? It may be God's will for you to suffer for doing good, and God forbid that we would suffer for doing evil. Now, we close. Remembering what we just saw, the hope that is in you who are called. And let's call to mind again the very first scripture reference into this message, and holding fast the boast of the hope firm to the end. The hope, as the Bible puts it in another place, the hope of your calling. Folks, Christ is our hope. Christ is our expectation. a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. In this, we can surely boast. Those who've been called with a heavenly calling, a holy calling, will do that very boasting about Christ. And if it is about Christ, it will also be about the Father, because they are one. And our boast about Christ and the Father will be led in us by the Spirit of the Father and the Son, who called us inwardly, spiritually, unto eternal life. A heavenly calling, a holy calling. Amen.